We're back, people. Look at that. We even got nice music, even though we already have nice music. It is I, Tom Savante, once again returning here with
Tom
the Watchtower.
In the middle of this chip.
You're mid-chip, Jung. Everybody.
See, we're right down to, like, we got professional recording equipment. We have everything
we have
going for us.
Somebody who can edit
fucking
audio.
Yeah, but then he's fucking eating a chip.
Sorry. We bring him in to improve the show.
I'm just like crunching this chip like far away. I have to like turn around. Just like, you know,
well, that's how I feel with my cough right now. Well, what's up? I'm Noah, another co-host, and we're joined by our good friend that's making all of this audio improvements possible.
I have a studio. My name's Jung.
Yeah, Jung is now welcome, full-on member of the Watchtower.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I mean, might as well be.
It's not, we like, listen.
We're in your basement.
It's true. We're using your audio equipment, and, like, you're in the show. As far as I'm concerned, you're all as legit as it gets, pal. Like, awesome. What's the difference between you and I, really? But you know what the difference between you and I is?
You understand the video game community and industry a lot more.
I don't know.
It's all an illusion.
It's like looking in like the eyes of the abyss.
Yeah.
You go mad. Speaking of going mad, how about this outrage against Battlefield 5?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Have you ever interacted with the Battlefield community
before? You ever interacted with most communities online?
I'm talking to like mainstream shooter audiences.
Oh, okay. That's you bring up valid points.
It was so, like, almost like, I don't know, okay, maybe surprising isn't the right word, because I'm, like, kind of not surprised people react this way.
I'm not surprised, but it's still, like,
but
it's
like,
upsetting.
Okay, the thing is, like, I was even watching a video.
Oh, like, should we detail this for the good people?
Well, yeah, basically, so when Battlefield 5 was revealed, people are like, I don't think the trailer was that great.
That was a nice trailer.
It was all right, but,
I
like,
liked it
kinda,
more than Battlefield 1's.
Yeah, I'm looking, yeah, it was just, like, supposed to be just, like, a quick, like, fun trailer,
I was supposed to announce the game.
But, I think the main complaints come from generally, like, it looks too cartoony, which, to that, it's like, have you heard of a game called Bad Company 2, or Bad Company 2? Bad Company 2 maybe being my personal favorite out of all the Battlefields.
But I don't, see, another, just real quick side note, I don't understand in today's day and age where, like, Fortnite is the most popular video game, how that's even, like, a
well,
valid argument.
The thing, I think it's the same thing that was in our minds kind of when we were middle school and early high school, I think, when we were playing Call of Duty. And people
I
are
think
like,
that's a lot of the people who are upset,
are still
though.
Upset, no, totally. But, like, I'm saying is that people, like, even me at the time, I would get upset about, oh, it's not realistic enough, or it's not gritty enough, or something. But, like, now I'm just like, hey, if the game plays well, and it's good, and it's fun,
yeah,
you know, it's like, I know it's World War II, and there's a certain amount of grit that I think should come with that, but they're not making it look like a, like, full-on Fortnite cartoon
kind
of
thing. Yeah.
And the thing that, like, kind of makes me angry the most is people are like, well, why is there women in this game? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know how to get into that, because,
well,
it just is making
sense. I will get into it.
Okay.
Women fought in World War II. Sacre bleu, who would have thought?
Yeah.
And, like, the only argument people are making, which I don't even think is a relevant fact that even hurts the argument here, is, like, people are like, it's disproportionate. It's like, are you fucking serious? We're playing a video game now. Even back then, women weren't allowed to register within the army for most nations a lot of times.
I think it's just, like, this whole idea of, like, feminism growing big and then people just misinterpreting this as that step in that direction.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure there's, like, bad people, like, on both sides that, like, kind of overblow the situation. But I think people are just misunderstanding this, like, historical fact that, like, women did fight in World War II as that being like, oh, we need to be inclusive, it's 2018, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't think that's a thing. I think they're just trying to shed light on stuff that people might not have seen in the first place.
But to me, even if that wasn't the fact, I would have no problem with it, because, like, we do live in a modern day and age where you have men and women playing video games.
If I
wanted a character in a video game, like, I like my characters to look like myself.
Yeah.
Sue me. Like, I know that's not everybody's cup of tea. Some people like to do, like, different cool looks. I get that too, but like, I like to go for, like, a somewhat, like,
what you want. It's like, you kind of just make yourself what you want
but
to
that's
look
the
like
thing.
You know what I mean?
Most games cater for me.
Exactly.
Like, think about it.
Yeah,
like,
well,
almost every shooter, like, a lot of times it's like, there's the
grizzled white guy.
It's hey, I'm a white guy.
Yeah,
but, like,
it's like, it's a perspective that it's like, Two perspectives. Well, the first one being, I was talking with you a little bit about this the other day, about my little sister, about how, like just having, I don't know, just Aloy in Horizon Zero Dawn being the main character, yeah, or being the two main characters in the Uncharted, the newest Uncharted game, just being women, like, actually makes like a significant impact on like how you enjoy that game.
Oh yeah,
and it's,
yeah,
these AAA and games too.
Yeah, it was the second perspective. Is like Jung being a minority. I'm sure, oh, yeah, like having like
the thing is like growing up in America, like a lot of media's portray like a lot of media portrays white people as like the hero or like that, and then sometimes like there are situations where Asian people are like portrayed as a villain, and that doesn't really give me like growing up a good role model. Like I really wanted to be white growing up, like especially in the town that I grew up in, like,
yeah,
the school population was like 95% white with like a little like
sprinkling of other
minorities.
How,
yeah,
could you say that? And like
the thing is like I grew up without like a solid role model on TV, yeah, like here and there, like sure there are one or two, but like compared to the other perceptions of like the white heroes, I guess, like, mm-hmm, it was kind of hard for me to like find my place.
But that's like the thing, like you said right there, like there's one or two, like a, yeah, very little amount, mm-hmm, but like, yeah, I hear so many people like they like to use the one or two, like, be like, oh, listen, man, I just saw a Jackie Chan movie, get the fuck off my case.
Yeah,
it's like, and then the, like, yeah, what the one, like, mm-hmm, the one guy, the, yeah, one Asian actor they build movies around,
and then I'll get stereotyped on that. So like it's, this, exactly, whole video game thing, like having like females in Battlefield 5, I think that's perfectly fine. Like
I'm totally for it.
It's a Battlefield game, man. Yeah. It's like it's not meant to be like grounded. Like it's not meant to be like really grounded in history. Like, yeah, I'm thinking about you get like in the plane, you fucking fly the plane directly into the air. You jump out of the plane. You parachute to the ground. The plane hits a tank. You like get out and start shooting while you're parachuting in the air. It takes you like 5 seconds to understand how to fly that aircraft. Versus, like, if you wanted something realistic, like when I play armor all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It took me, like, 6 to 10 hours to understand how to properly, like, fly and operate those aircraft, like, effectively.
The people's desire for realism in these games that have no realism, just an illusion of realism. Yeah. Like, it looks like the movie version of it. But everyone, yeah, knows the movie version of it is not realistic, yeah, ever. Like, we, yeah, always hear that. But that's what these games, I feel, always usually try to emulate is Hollywood spectacle, mm-hmm, to some extent. Both entertainment mediums, you have to do what you gotta do. Like, your character can literally eat bullets.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. Like, and then, I like, know, 30, yeah, seconds will go by, you're like, oh, the screen's not right anymore, I'm good, baby.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, what are you talking about, realism? Like, yeah, seriously.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because, like, even on Arma, like, that expedites the process by a lot, because all you do is you hit turn on engines, turn on electronics. Versus, like, an entire, like, pre-flight setup and, like, turn-on, like, checklist. You just press those two buttons. And even that's expediting the process by a lot, not making it realistic. But yeah, they have games for that, obviously. Like DCS World and all that shit. But, like, I don't think you can make a game like Battlefield and still make it, you know, what Battlefield's, you know, known to be. It's like, I think about a video on my YouTube channel where me and Eric are in a Jeep. We have C4 strapped to it. I go off a ramp, I launch across the map, and hit a fucking plane midair, and live, and jump out.
Yeah. It's just people complaining for the sake of complaining.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's all I can really call this.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, there's no merit to any of these arguments.
I feel like it's when people, like, really, also, like, you can see the same kind of crowd generate kind of around movies, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, like, really,
just
really.
Just saw Solo. There was a character in it that got revealed as being female, and in my mind, I was like, someone somewhere is pissed. I just know.
Wait, which character?
I don't want to ruin the movie.
Yeah, no.
It's a reveal.
Okay.
It's towards you saw it, right?
Yeah, I did. I'm trying to think of what.
Okay, okay. Okay, how about this? We're going to talk about it for 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Skip forward 60 seconds.
Hit that 15-second thing a few times.
Hit that 50-second thing 4 times, you'll be fine. Yeah. It's the Marauder Captain.
Oh.
Okay.
She takes the helmet off. Okay.
I didn't
attribute any significance to her being a woman. Like,
no, okay. Yeah, exactly. No, but in my mind, I didn't.
But that's, I think that's why I, like, didn't.
Of course.
Isn't it matter?
Because you're not an asshole.
My little sister said that was her favorite character in the whole movie.
She was dope.
Yeah, totally.
She was kicking ass.
Yeah.
When she was fighting Woody Harrelson on the train, yeah, and she was blocking lasers.
Speaking of Woody Harrelson, he probably was my favorite character in the movie.
He was the best addition
to
the
fucking gunslinger shit.
Oh, yeah.
It was just really, really good.
And everything, you could see how Han kind of used him as like what kind of not to be, but also kind of taking his strengths, and that's how he kind of moved forward as a person.
Yeah, totally.
Speaking of that, we're not really supposed to spoil much of the movie.
Yeah.
So
I think that's fine.
Okay.
Solid 66.
If you're back now, we are done talking about the movie. But you know what we are talking about? Sea of Thieves is about to launch.
I have some feelings about that.
Their new DLC. Polygon has a write-up for it. Cass Marshall, I think he was the guy who wrote that column I was talking about. He wrote a bit of a positive column about how he feels the game has new life now that a lot of these Game Pass players are gone and there's more of a dedicated community.
Yeah.
And his take on it is super positive. He literally, like, the subhead reads, Sea of Thieves has launched, been polished, and has set a course for a rich future of content. Noah, what's your subhead for this Sea of Thieves DLC?
I'm in a very different direction on the whole Sea of Thieves thing because I get very, like, of course, like, I fall into the same trap of getting into games where they basically just glorified early access. And that's kind of what I feel Sea of Thieves is. So it's maybe it was just, like, the one too many for me, why I'm so sour on it. But it's, I don't know, it's like it feels so lazy to me, the kind of like loop that is presented in that game. It's you got the three factions, right? And you got the one, you know, fortress that you can go to every now and again. And that's fucking it.
I would just like to add, you can also collect chickens and pigs.
As part of one of those three things. And it's, you basically, you get the thing, you get the quest, you go get the things, and you come back, and then that's fucking it. And then you maybe encounter the Kraken, and even that's underwhelming because you just fired the tentacles for about 10 minutes.
Guess what? This new DLC, The Hungering Deep, what they're saying is they, quote-unquote, are looking to add new elements, but build upon already existing elements. And a big part of it is, like, now you can, I think, believe encounter, like, whales, and, like, you're going to run into a larger scale. It's content to make, I think, traversing the seas more fun. Yeah. And what you're finding is now they're doing underwater. Like, you go underwater to find these treasures in a more expansive way.
Yeah, instead of diving in and grabbing
exactly. them and coming back out. And even then, like, they're saying, like, they're doing new cosmetic stuff. But they're saying that's not the focus here.
Yeah,
like, that's
what I was going to say. And
this is a positive thing.
It's like there's the thing I think they need to focus on to actually make it a game worthwhile playing is fix the gameplay loop, which is get the quest, go get the thing, come back, and also add some sort of progression that's other than purely cosmetic into the game. And then I think you have a game that, like, because, like, Sea of Thieves, like, conceptually is such, like, such an awesome idea. And, like, the first, like, 5 hours you play that game, you're having a blast. But, like, I feel like after that, you can still have fun because you're doing, a lot of the stuff is player driven and you're doing stuff with your friends especially, but you fall into the same gameplay loop just so quickly. And that's why I got so frustrated.
I think with what people are trying to, like, I think where this game's trying to differentiate, and like this probably, this turns me off a bit, and I think you might say, it's more about kind of role playing as a pirate.
Yeah.
Like kind of embracing that role instead of maybe like playing in this in-game feature system, which to me isn't the most appealing because, you know, I've played plenty of games that are like simulators for certain things. Like,
yeah,
I play soccer, football, like a football manager.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to make you feel like you own a football team. But there it's super pinpoint stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Here, there's like new stuff they're adding is like they're adding a trumpet so you can project your voice to like other ships. They're adding drums and they're adding flags that like you can wave with you. And then
That's not.
And then there's other stuff, like other feet, but like, yeah, none of this seems too amazing. Like, none of this is getting me back in the game.
They just need
like
to focus on the what I feel like is a broken gameplay loop. It's just like, or at the very least, a completely uninteresting gameplay loop that they present.
So what they're trying to do, and this is, there's the air quotes here are around laser focused on new content ideas. So they're saying they're going to try to make all, this is the thing though. As far as someone, like, now that we're living in this world where Sea of Thieves is out, it is the game it is, and it's not very exciting, and this is the direction they're going into adding content to it, it does get me a little more excited, and it does seem promising.
It's hard to be optimistic for me, only because of to see what games like this have done in the past, and also to see the track record of what Microsoft has been doing lately. Those are the two things that prevent me from being optimistic.
So far, and like just looking at the community itself, like they all seem rather happy with the way Rare's gone about it. So like until Rare F's up, I'm not gonna talk ill.
Yeah, I feel like, but the thing is, like, I feel like the Destiny community was the same way. The Destiny 1 community was the same way. You had the people that came in initially to play it, didn't like it, then you had a core community.
Because I'm not saying it's a guarantee.
No, I'm not saying you're saying it is, but, like, it's why I'm not optimistic about it.
I get
that. It doesn't seem, just the everything surrounding it just seems too...
Listen, I'm a positive person. I think the world needs more love, so I'm going to be optimistic. but speaking of
not
games...
Not if I have to pay money for it.
Speaking of games that are coming together, though, We Happy Few... recently released a game demo of the first 90 minutes.
God, is that game... game's been out for 30 years.
Game was released in early development, I believe, in 2016. I own it. I've been playing it. I stopped by to see the updates and such. But the most recent update I played, actually, like, I was like, wow, like, they've made some real strides here. And The more the game comes out, like, the better it looks, the more they add to it, like... It's like the game has such a cool concept behind it, but like it's such an ambitious title that can easily fall to pieces. Yeah.
I think that's probably why they went early access.
Yeah,
so they can get community input and funding for it.
Like,
I think that's a good way of going about doing it. But like, if they did it with Sea of Thieves, they were like, "Listen, still early access," because like you know me, I was playing the game while it was in its alpha, like last year, in like late 2016, and. It, like, almost feels no different to, like, what it was, like, 2 years ago. That's the thing that, like, is, like, insane to me. Sea of Thieves.
Oh, Sea of Thieves.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You were...
We Happy Few looks like they're actually doing a lot of improvements to what they're trying to do.
Exactly. Well, I think it's more of, like, Sea of Thieves, when it came out, it lacked the content, it lacked all this, but it was, like, a polished game. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't, like, I didn't hear a lot about game-ending bugs... The game running poorly, like it ran well, like for what it was. And I think that was what they essentially dedicated a lot of their later development to.
Yeah.
Which, like, that stuff I would say, make sure the game's good before you do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure Microsoft was like, let's get this boy out.
Yeah,
like,
I'm thinking that's maybe why I'm more sour on it, because I've been playing it for so long and why I've seen such little change to it versus, like, a lot of people that came in right at release.
Did you hear also, this is a quick side note, but PUBG, they're saying they're making major changes, or not major, but big changes to the online for the PC version.
Yeah, I saw that, but I didn't think, I actually didn't think you were going to mention that. I thought you were going to mention that they're suing,
Listen, I have a thing. I like to lean in. Oh.
This is why you're supposed to clue me in.
All right. Well, I'm going to do a lean in to them suing Fortnite.
Yeah.
So PUBG Core suing Fortnite publisher Epic Games because they said they quote-unquote copied intellectual property. Mm-hmm. I'm about to let you in on a little secret. PUBG's going to lose this.
Yeah, probably.
Easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, to Epic,
You think Nintendo gets to sue every 2D platformer that comes out?
No. But I think the only ground, because like I'm totally against this, but I'm trying to think about the perspective that they're in, and it's... The only like ground I think they stand on is because they took, PUBG runs off of the Unreal Engine, or off the of an Epic engine, right? No. Well, you got to let me go with this, right?
Yeah.
But it's when that was in early access and right when it was releasing, they then took certain aspects of PUBG because it's owned by Epic, right?
Oh.
And put it into Fortnite so it would work. So all that's right. Like the ground
I did not realize that.
You know?
If that's true, like if they did use PUBG code essentially to make Fortnite, they're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Fortnite was also in development long before PUBG was released.
That's
right?
True, but the Battle Royale mode specifically.
So this is, I played that beta first probably in 2015, I want to think, for Fortnite.
I remember when it came out, but when it came out, I remember you telling me like, oh, this Arma mod I was playing... Just got like an official release
For PUBG. Yeah. No, I'm talking about Fortnite.
Oh,
I'm talking about in beta around 2015. Playing the beta, and basically what Fortnite was, it's like a base building scavenging, like horde survival type of thing.
The actual
and then
Fortnite...
last second it turned to battle royale.
Well, gotcha. The Fortnite game still exists, and you can totally play it, and they still add content to it. And like, I personally, I don't think the actual Fortnite game is bad at all. Like, I look at it.
No, I don't think it's bad.
I've heard some positive things. I hear it's all right for what it is, but that's essentially what it is. Like, you go in the day, you collect materials, and then you defend your fort at night.
Oh, yeah.
What they ended up doing was they eventually made a Battle Royale mode, the free version that everybody now has.
Yeah.
And that free version is what's essentially they're going after, which is Fortnite Battle Royale, not Fortnite.
Okay.
Yes.
So I was kind of absent for like the first quarter of this conversation.
Yeah. Yes.
So like, what basis are they suing them on?
I honestly don't know. I haven't looked into it at all.
To protect our copyrights, said PUBG to Bloomberg.
But like, the thing is, what are those copyrights? That's what I want to know.
I think, okay, Epic Games is now accused of copying PUBG Core's weapon design as well as their user interface from PUBG. So those are the two things they're going for.
The weapon design thing, I don't
get. I don't see them winning that.
Only because the weapons don't really look that similar compared to PUBG and like they're two totally different shooting systems, because PUBG is like a ballistic system, so it's a physical system, and much like Battlefield and Arma, and then Fortnite is like COD, where it's hit scan. There's like a certain box that you hit, and then it guarantees a hit, and it's random spread. So that is like, yeah, I would be interested in seeing like I just want to know the outcome of this, because it's...
You also have to be, I just did a little bit more digging, and you have to also be aware that it's also in South Korea and not in the United States court system.
Because PUBG Core is owned by South Korea.
Blue Hole is a South Korean company.
I didn't think about that.
So Korean copyright law, while like a lot of the basis is based in American law, it's still different. Like, I can't speak...
None of us here are lawyers. But
what does that mean for Epic Games, which is based in North Carolina? What copyright law do you follow?
So if... this is just speculation, but if they do end up winning the suit or winning some sort of suit, they could either get a percentage of money or they could even block access to Fortnite in South Korea. Right? Certain aspects to it.
Wow.
Well,
that's like the extreme. That's just speculating.
Yeah. South Korea is a good market. They play video games.
For Battle Royale, I think South Korea is like the fifth biggest country.
When's that? The esport for this. When is this going to get like what Overwatch has got, when we just get like a league? Where's my New York PUBG team, you know?
I don't think that's happening, but there's an invitational happening right now in Canada.
I'm talking more of like...
Oh, I don't know.
I could get behind that.
I could too. I think that would be... Well, but like... much harder to do that, because think about like you have two teams going each other in Overwatch. You need 25 teams.
You need a lot of people. Yeah. I think it would be more of like, instead of it being like 30,
that's got to be a logistical nightmare.
The Overwatch League is trying to be like a sports, like major sports leagues, where it's like we have these, 20 something teams?
For what?
Overwatch League. How many teams are in it?
I have no idea.
But it's like
12, isn't it 12 or 22?
I thought it was
27, I don't think.
It's like a low 20 number.
Yeah.
I should look this up. But they're essentially trying to replicate like an American sport. Like the NBA, the MLB, like that kind of sports league mentality, where you have these limited number of teams made up of the best of the best. What you can do with PUBG is you don't need that.
Yeah.
You can have hundreds of teams even. Like, even if they wanted to, they could create 300 teams of solid players all around the world and just create a leaderboard through that.
That just seems like really, like something really hard to do. They don't have the infrastructure for that yet. I think that you need to see that like a couple
Microsoft.
Years out. You know what I mean?
They have millions of dollars. I think they have, it's not that I don't think they have they have the means to create the infrastructure is what I'm saying.
They got to wait till this lawsuit's over, at least. You know what I mean?
That's 12 Overwatch teams.
Oh, my 12? God. I'm so
it is low.
And that's like the Overwatch Masters, right?
Yeah.
Whatever
it's called.
Which is actually like after... Because I play that game... I'll go on binges sometimes. Like, it's usually like once a month where I'll play a week where I'm not doing anything but like competitive Overwatch. And watching the invitational events, it's just very, very approachable, and like the production quality is really high, and it would be hard to understand if you don't know the game very well, I would think, because there's a lot of information being thrown at you, and like understanding the characters I think is important.
It's also just like like any sport, watching any sport, like basketball, like I have no clue what's going on. Yeah. Like, I don't watch basketball. Mm-hmm. And like commentators, like that's their job to make it understandable and approachable.
Yeah. I think that's harder though when you have characters in this game that are very different from each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Versus just like one aspect of basketball being, you know, it's basketball.
Yeah. Real quick, just to kind of bring it back over to the Fortnite thing.
Yeah.
Recently, Fortnite passed 3.4 million players, which passed the total PUBG had hit. And also recently, Dr. Disrespect came out and was and essentially said PUBG is slowly dying. And it's like, it's never going to catch up to Fortnite unless they change the optimization of the game.
I think console, yeah, but PC, it's still going strong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. But I think what people are seeing is people are jumping from one game to the other. And, that is a bummer. Even if it is the community strong, you're still losing people.
Mm-hmm. I would also just think about our friends even. Like, their friends who aren't really into PC gaming, but they have, like, laptops that can kind of run, like, League of Legends.
Yeah.
If they can run League of Legends, they can run Fortnite.
Yeah.
And that just makes it so much more approachable for them to and get like, into it. Because PUBG takes a lot of, like, hardware to run.
Yeah. And even more so, Fortnite's free.
Yeah, exactly. Like
that's not going to happen with PUBG 8.
There's
a
$30 entry fee into PUBG. If they kind of went the route of like CS:GO, where you can buy skins, I feel like they could increase player base. But that's also going into the whole gambling thing.
And they'd be going kind of more.
Well, they have loot boxes now.
True.
I mean, yeah, they still have gambling, but
they have weapon skins.
But if they go full on into like even deeper into it, I think that's when they start to compete. Even harder with CS:GO for player I'm not saying those games are already core, like they're already fighting for players, but there you go even going deeper in because you're going for that skin, which
I'd
does
be interested to see how
heat.
Much CS:GO and PUBG correlate because I would imagine that the player bases don't really interact that very much.
No, because like,
I can't imagine. Well, like I can imagine like someone like you who plays the games they want, doesn't just stay dedicated to necessarily one game, but is open to playing a lot of games. Yeah. I think that's who we're going to see correlate, and that's not a lot of people. Yeah. I'm totally going to...
Yeah.
But I think if you go deeper into that skinned, that gambling world, I think you are going to start seeing more of, like, people are going to be like, ooh, what's this other game that has the same system I'm addicted to?
But the thing is, like, even if it does compete technically, like, player-base-wise, like, Valve's still going to make money. Especially if it's in the market. Because you can still trade PUBG skins for CS:GO skins.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Like,
so I wouldn't...
How much of a cut do they get from that? I don't remember.
I think it's like 10%.
Yeah. 10%? Yeah. Yeah, so it's
like,
bad.
Yeah, so every time like someone puts an item up for sale for 10 cents, they lose like 1 or 2 cents.
Yeah, so like
I dig that, honestly.
Sell,
it's not a terrible margin.
Items that I made in PUBG. Remember when that was going on?
Yeah,
and I made $90.
Yeah, you can easily make cash.
Like in CS:GO, I made like $120. Yeah.
If you play enough PUBG, you probably never have to buy a Steam game again.
If you play,
I don't know about that because like it's very basis. That was basis around one event.
Okay.
Because it was like around the Gamescom event.
CS:GO,
the Gamescom event. Yeah.
You
might
never have to
buy enough crates in CS:GO, and you can
like
you can unlock crates though, and if you just sell the skins,
you need to buy the keys.
You need to always buy crates.
So the crates they drop in the game. To open those crates, you need to pay $250 for a key.
Yeah.
So
Holy shit.
The reason why some of the items will go for like knives will go for like $500 and stuff like that is because they're rare and people want them. So most of the time, people will circumvent the whole community market and they'll just put it on sale on eBay and then get money through PayPal. But that's also kind of throwing it back to Team Fortress 2, which kind of was
destroyed by its like market.
Yeah, hats. Yeah,
but
the
like,
game just became like about grown men being like, "I will give you two hats for your one Eskimo thing."
Yeah.
No
but
deal.
I think that was Valve's way of testing the waters with this, because like, if you look at the TF2 marketplace, like back at its peak, it was a lot of idling. Like, a lot of people would just... I did it a lot. Like,
I did it too,
yeah. And they would get, like, items that they would either sell or, like, trade up for other items. And CS:GO kind of does that, but their whole community market restrictions just restrict a lot of the things that happen to TF2 from happening to CS:GO. Because in TF2, you can get items from being in any server. It was just basically playtime. So CS:GO, they changed that you can only get items on official matchmaking servers and casual servers.
Yep.
So you actually have to play through a game and they'll kick you if you're idle. So
yeah, and it's very, very quick. Like we were in a timeout because we were playing CS:GO last night. We were in a timeout. It was at one in the morning though.
Yeah, I was sleeping.
Yeah. And it was, we went into a timeout. While I was in the bathroom and then the timeout got out, I got sniped down mid in Dust 2. And I was just spectating. And I'm just spectating the game when I get back, and I get kicked when I'm spectating.
How many rounds were you gone for?
I wasn't even gone for
one. He went to the bathroom to pee, right?
Yeah, it was very quick that I got kicked for idling. But I was able to reconnect, thankfully, but like I was still kicked from inactivity.
You were gone for like, what, 90 seconds to 2 minutes?
Probably 90 seconds, I'd say.
Did you wash your hands?
Because I think...
Of course.
Then I say 90 seconds.
Yeah. I feel like... Because what I've seen is it takes 2 to 3 rounds to kick someone in CSGO.
It didn't. No, it definitely didn't do that.
It doesn't... Like, if you give people the power and, like, they just want to, like, play and they see, like, even you stop for a second, they're not going to assume, oh, this just happened. They're going to be like, this guy's gone. This guy's AFK. Yeah.
Well, they
fuck
didn't
him.
Kick me. No, my teammates didn't kick me. The game itself is outside of
no, exactly.
Me,
yeah. But if that's what it's checking for.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm going to go into a bit of some other news.
Just real quick, to circumvent that, you need to press your keyboard. You can't just be pressing your mouse.
You're right. I should have done that because I was moving around. Yeah. That makes sense.
So recently, through a employee recruitment video from Business Division 1, we got a released image of the Final Fantasy VII remake. It's them. I think it's the scene of the second boss fight in the game. Looks like the Kingdom Hearts battle system, which, you know, I enjoy to death. And I'm excited, you know? Maybe this means it's coming sooner than later. Maybe I have to wait another 7 years.
I think we're never getting that game.
It's coming out.
I don't know.
These things
that.
Happen. They happen. Like, Final Fantasy 15 happened.
Yeah, but, like...
Final Fantasy...
Something's different about this one.
What's different? Because
they still have up, like, job listings that they need to fill
they
for
always
this game.
So did The Last Guardian. It happened.
I think it's going to be disappointing, though, because you can't, like, that's the problem, is, like, it's in the media for so long.
But Final Fantasy XV came out, and I wasn't disappointed by it. Well, and sure. I don't think a lot of people were. Overwhelming reception to it was really positive.
I don't think Final Fantasy XV...
Has the expectations of a Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yes. Okay.
However, I will say, they can do it. Like, I think, like, I get that, like, you have your hesitation, but, like, long development
time
does equal, usually,
but no,
more
not
time
even,
to
I'm
work
not even
on
talk,
the
I'm
game.
Not even talking about long development time. I'm talking about allowing the public to know about it for this long. It's people are going to start to lose interest in it. You know what I mean?
No, that's true, but
that's
this
the
is
thing.
Always,
it's
going to
come out, and
this is
or
always
people are going to be blowing out of proportion to their expectations is going to come out and be
I don't think the people who are going to get this game day one are never going to lose interest.
Well,
this is Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I agree.
Like,
with that.
This is just like you're not even getting the Final Fantasy fans. You're getting a whole bunch of other fans too that are all very interested in how this game turns out.
Yeah.
With that said, and given that it's going to play probably a lot like Final Fantasy XV, which was much like Kingdom Hearts, I think it could work. I think they can make something cool here.
Yeah.
I'm just happy they're not doing it. They're just not making like a turn-based RPG.
Yeah,
those days are coming to an end. Like just the way Final Fantasy VII did it, where you play the turn-based RPG to essentially go through a plot. It's all right, dude. Text messages go off earlier. Shit happens.
What's it called? What else you got for us, Tom?
Well, I got 3 game announcements. I'm gonna do the least interesting one for all of you boys. So One Piece. World
oh my
Seeker.
God! What? I honestly don't.
I know. So One Piece is releasing a new game. This one is like an open world One Piece game. So you play as Monkey D. Luffy. You get into like this giant pirate city and other locations, and you get to essentially explore these high seas and fight people.
Anime. That sounds like a better Sea of Thieves to me.
Yeah.
No, like, okay, listen, dude. If you want to watch a cool pirate anime, One Piece is one. Like, One Piece is a lot like Dragon Ball. It's this long-standing anime that, like, people over here love to death, too.
Yeah, no, I've never heard bad things about it, so, I mean...
But it's anime. How can
but
you
it's anime.
That?
How can I like it?
How can you like it? It's impossible.
I will say that as an Asian person growing up in a white community, I did shun away anime because I don't want the stereotype being applied to me.
As a white person who watched Toonami, I am offended.
Yeah.
But, like, now that I'm looking back at it, I was like, I missed a lot. Like,
yeah.
I don't even have time to watch
anime. But I was in the same exact way. Like,
yeah.
Well, not in the same exact situation, but I was in
yeah,
the
I
same.
Yeah.
I was in a situation where, like, I didn't look at it because it had such, at the time, had such a negative connotation to
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
My, last night, I was hanging out with our friend Max, and he, when we got to college, I got him into Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
And now he's like, a nut for it. Yeah. Like, he loves it to death.
Oh, yeah.
And last night he was talking to me, he goes, I watch it every day. He goes, he's like, I don't like a show more than I like this ever. Like, this is my favorite thing. And I was looking at him, I was like, dude, I've been at this since I was five.
Yeah.
Like, this is the best show I've, like, I, like, Dragon Ball is my favorite show ever.
Dragon Ball's amazing.
It's just, I remember watching it with you. It's not just necessarily, like, test you purely off quality. It's a matter of, like, content, how quality it is.
It's just cool.
The variety of the show itself, like, watching original Dragon Ball, to watching Dragon Ball Z, to watching Dragon Ball Super.
It's this craziest, stupidest shit you'll ever watch, and it's amazing.
It's dope.
It's amazing.
It's super dope. And, like, but you know what's also super dope? Mega Man 11 coming out in October. Here's the deal. This game, art design-wise...
I think I saw a trailer for it.
I'm not a fan of the 3D art style. Yeah. Sue me. I'm a pixel boy. I wish it looked more like Mega Man X, which is those really not like almost anime-esque.
But I
like,
agree. Yeah.
I dig like I think Cuphead's a good example. We're now living in an era where we can kind of go back to the 2D realm, and we don't have to be 3D. We can make like beautiful animations.
Oh yeah,
but definitely. Like I get doing it 3D. It's just it doesn't. I think the game looks good.
Yeah.
Like, the game looks,
yeah.
Especially after Mighty
it's
Number
just
9.
It's a bit of a, like,
it's
a bit of a shock looking at it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. I think
it's just 2.5. Like, I would consider this a 2.5D.
Yeah, 2.5, I would say.
I feel like it's a lot easier for them to, like, program and animate stuff, because, like, it looks like I'm looking at
this image right here is the best looking image.
It looks great, yeah, but, like... It's just a lot more cost effective than having to animate.
It is. Yes,
each,
exactly.
Yeah. No, each that's spread. What I was
Why do
you
think Cuphead took
yeah.
so long? Like, it's yeah, just, it's exactly. tough. It gets hard. But okay, yeah, maybe I'm just being picky. But for me, a series like Mega Man,
you're being picky.
I am being picky. But a series like Mega Man, I would love to see that happen for.
Oh yeah.
I just because you know, it's Mega Man. Like this shit's too good. But comes out in October. An amiibo is coming with it.
Oh no,
amiibo!
Whoa, brother.
Sorry, we just have a friend who has every single amiibo.
I'm aware. Kind of,
yeah.
October 2nd, by the way.
Okay.
On Switch, PS4,
it's
Xbox
very close
One.
To
my birthday.
The same,
look at that.
That's exactly what I was going to say. But I was going to say close to Call of Duty and Battlefield release.
I don't think that it's competing with
No, I don't think so either. I'm just in my mind is what I'm thinking.
Are you ready for the big
Speaking
news?
Speaking of this, hold on. Before we... quick
come
sidebar.
On.
Quick
no,
sidebar.
No big news. No big news.
Quick sidebar. I just want to know what the fuck the Call of Duty Battle Royale thing is. I just want to know what
it is.
I'm
interested, right?
Well, like, I'm curious.
To
I'm not
see
sure
if they
I'm
do anything to change it.
If they do anything that, like, seems like it would work. Because everything tells me that Call of Duty in a Battle Royale thing should not work.
They'd have to change
they have
so much.
It's close to mid-range combat all the time. And the fact that they're saying they're putting in vehicles and, like, all this shit. It's weird and it's cool and I'm glad they're doing it. But I just want to see what it, like, is.
I feel like... Once they implement it, they're also going to use a lot of those assets in, like, the campaign and
yeah,
multiplayer,
Yeah, no, I think
too.
It's going to change Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I feel like it's shifting towards what Battlefield was with the whole 64-man
game.
It wouldn't even stun me if they change, if they're adding vehicles, if they're adding these bigger maps, or they're changing, like, the way to play. If they take zombies and they have the wave system, and they also kind of have a bit of a Left 4 Dead mode in it.
That'd be fun.
Like they've tried to
I
do
think
stuff
zombies would be
like
10
that.
Times better if it was a Left 4 Dead version of.
Listen,
Dead
I think
zombies.
Left 4 Dead's kind of the 10 times better of zombies to begin
yeah.
with.
Oh, well, yeah. it is like that's.
Well, some people would disagree.
I know, but like
some people hate Left 4 Dead, and those people just probably aren't good enough to beat it.
I grew up playing Left 4 Dead.
Exactly.
So, like I never played COD because I never had a console, so I just played Left 4 Dead and like, Half-Life and Portal. So.
You ever? Guy, my favorite. What's talk about Left 4 Dead? My favorite Left 4 Dead map is Hard Rain in Left 4 Dead 2,
really
which is where because you go through the two sections and you have to come back. And if you took all the supplies, you fucked yourself.
I'm all for Helm's Deep.
Helm's Deep,
defending the wall.
Well, yes, so much fun. Oh, those games rule.
Just should play sometime.
Yeah, we should honestly.
Heavy machine guns on the side. The Lord of the Rings music. The Lord of the Ring music is playing as like there's people charging the wall. And eventually, they literally just play through Helm's Deep. You play through that scene in Left 4 Dead. That's the glory of PC, man.
Exactly.
Like, you can just do that shit.
Steam Workshop, favorite thing. Actually, no. But, you know, modding, favorite thing.
Yeah.
Steam
Modding's
Workshop
really,
could use some work.
It's like, that's a... So that comes back to the thing of why I wouldn't be excited for a Fallout 3 or Fallout New Vegas remake.
Okay, wait.
Because you can just mod it and make it, like...
We're doing the
thing. I know.
We're doing the thing. You keep...
Come on, you spoiled the news.
So here's the big news. Bethesda...
Oh, you're right. I did spoil it. I thought we talked about that in the beginning.
By the time this podcast comes out, we will probably know a substantial bit more of information.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
But we will do... We'll probably do one more either pre or during E3.
Yeah.
Like, maybe even do one after every day of E3, kind of given that it's so broken up this time.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to just have quick reaction ones. We might do that. Yeah. We haven't decided yet, but we'll figure it out. But essentially, Bethesda has tweeted out the image. It's the waiting image from Fallout 3. And it says, please stand by on it with the picture of the Native American above it. Mm-hmm. And then it's essentially, the tweet says, please stand by, hashtag. Mm-hmm. And the color, the difference is, in Fallout 3, it's a plain green image. And in this one, it's multicolored, if that makes any sense. But if you saw the image, if you knew both images, that would add up. But,
yeah.
So a lot of people are getting, like, excited. I think there's multiple possibilities. Obviously, it's something new, Fallout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here are the three possibilities that I think are most likely it is, mm-hmm. and I think you guys probably agree. I think it's either more DLC for 4 to continue its lifespan, which I could see happening if they have no plans to make a new one soon.
Yep. I could, yeah.
A Fallout 3 remake done in the vein of Fallout 4, or... And this one, I don't know if it's going to be... This is the most popular thought, maybe. It could be, like, something kind of new.
Like Fallout 4 built into Skyrim, so they can extend Skyrim. And
they can have more paid mods.
The two things I don't see it likely being, which would be the best things, is either Fallout 5, which I don't know if would be the time for it.
Like you were saying earlier, but
essentially... either Fallout New Vegas 2 or what New Vegas was to 3, which was obviously like taking 3's assets, building on them a bit by bit, but essentially creating this massive content within this game.
I could also see them either porting Fallout 4 or remastering 3 and then releasing it on Switch.
Yeah, that could be a thing that's a Switch game. Yeah.
Ooh, this like, is they possible. Did, this they could did, be a Switch port. Yeah,
they put Skyrim on Switch.
I think that's much more, actually. I think that's probably the greatest like probability is that that's happening.
Yeah.
If it's a Switch port, though, I think it'll be something that's like...
They're going to put the Master Sword in Fallout.
Did they release like the Game of the Year edition for that game?
Yeah, they had to.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I will actually see... I want to say they did.
My only thing is just like I'm really not... Personally, I'm not interested in a remake. I want to see something new.
No, yeah. I was just I'm making sure the Game of the Year edition.
No,
I was just saying that.
Yeah, I just really hope they do like what Fallout New Vegas was to Fallout 4 versus,
like a Fallout 5.
So not even a Fallout 5, because I think it's way too soon to have a Fallout 5. But I would rather see the Fallout New Vegas to the Fallout 4 versus a remake. That's what I
think it's going to be. The more likely possibility is something like what New Vegas was. But given the sales of Fallout 4 were so good,
yeah,
I've seen Bethesda being like, fast track it, and your next game is Fallout 5, which in my book would make no sense because Skyrim sold like hotcakes.
Yeah.
Why not make the new Elder Scrolls?
Yeah.
But.
Or this is just a big. Easier. This is just they're like, it's either like all of this or it's none of this. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like it's something completely different. Like they're just covering it up.
I'm hoping that they move away from their engine that they've been using.
Yes. Oh like, my god.
It's just definitely coming Fallout out 4, on the yeah. Fallout 4 engine though.
Yeah, but
I can't see them making a brand new one. Like, well, I feel which like is just the Fallout 3 engine. I think just beefed up a bit.
Yeah. So that engine, I believe, has still been there since.
Oblivion, I believe.
Yeah. Oblivion, and then they just expanded on it. I feel like they've been also working on a new engine on the side.
I would love that.
Oh, so this is the reveal for a new engine.
If this is a reveal for a new engine, and they decided to go with a whole new Fallout game, that actually makes sense for
me. Because, I think they, from what I remember for rumors, I could be totally wrong on this, is that they were planning on releasing Fallout 4 in a new engine, but they kind of had some technical difficulties. So
I heard that as well. I didn't know how much of that was true.
It's a rumor, but
it's a speculation. I heard the same things.
Like I could see that happening.
It wouldn't in this scenario though. It would almost be like Fallout 4 was released to appease an appetite leading into this new engine. Yeah. Like they were like, we know we have to get something out because Skyrim came out in 2011 and we haven't done anything since.
Yeah,
and waiting 7 years. Which, would have been the gap from 2011 to 2018.
Yeah.
And, it's been 3 years, which, in Bethesda terms is, a year for most of, like, for other developers. But, like, you know, you can make, like, you can... It's not crazy to think that if they were working on Fallout 5 before Fallout 4 came out, they could have made a new Fallout.
Yeah.
In a three-year span.
Yeah.
Well, three-plus year span.
Seems very condensed, though.
If this new engine was the focus of it, then it would make sense for me.
And they could always just pull assets.
Condensed? I don't know. Like, I only think we're saying condensed because it's Bethesda. Like, I think we're just... Because that's the standard we're used to with that.
Yeah, but, like, it seems
maybe
like
they got off their ass and made it quicker.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm not one to say. I think it's very unlikely we get another mainline.
You want time frames? 2002, Morrowind. 2006, Oblivion. Mm-hmm. Or 2005, maybe. I can't remember the year on that. 2008, Fallout 3. 2010, Fallout New Vegas. 2011, Skyrim. 2015, Fallout 4. And then this year, whatever this is.
Mm.
I don't think it's actually... In terms of their pattern, it's not that crazy.
You're right, yeah.
I feel like it could just be, like... in between, like, New Vegas.
I would love that. That's what I just in a new
engine.
Yeah.
Just in a new
engine.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if they would whip out the new engine for their next Fallout New Vegas. I think it would make way more sense to whip out the new engine for, like, an Elder Scrolls. I don't know. Maybe this is how they want to do it. Power to them. Like, Fallout New Vegas.
Literally, time will tell.
Time will tell. And, well, you know what? You know why we'll know sooner or later? Because E3 is coming, baby.
Yeah.
Woo!
Two
weeks from now. The starting dates of press conferences is, I believe, June 12th. Saturday, June 9th. Might be. I forgot. I think SoFlesh opened June 12th to the 14th.
Okay.
So Saturday, June 9th, guess what we're doing? We're watching EA.
Oh, EA
sell
play,
us
okay.
sports games and make a new Battlefield. And that's it. That's the only one that day. That'll be the first press conference.
This other Madden, last year's Madden, it's a piece of shit.
Listen.
This is why you need to buy the new Madden. I don't even know why we sold
how
this.
How many times do they come out and they go, we hear you guys, but this time we nailed it. We've been listening to you, hearing out shit out there, homies. It's good. We fixed it on up. It's phenomenal. And it's like fucking Madden with duct tape over the holes.
Well, I mean, that's Madden every single year.
That is Madden every... It's just more
EA
duct tape.
Games. Yeah. Duct tape's our best friend.
Yeah. Here's what I did here.
It's crazy.
In terms of sports stuff, both NBA Live and Madden just got a new creative director. And whenever that happens, that usually means actual substantial changes to the series that are then slowly built upon. So... I don't think it'll be this year, because I don't think he took over enough to actually make it this his game. But I think big changes might be coming, but this will be like any person who plays sports video games kind of knows that this happens. It's like 2K is a good example. Like when 2K11 came out, everybody lost their mind.
Yeah.
And essentially every 2K slowly since has been built around the 2K11 formula, and then that kind of changed when the new generations came in, but it's still kind of that formula.
Yeah.
And because it's a winning one.
Mm-hmm.
But... You know, I'm a firm believer. Like, I like UFC's video games because they go on a 2-year cycle. They're not married to the year numbers. They just do numbered games. Like EA Sports UFC 3. Like, I just think it's nicer. It doesn't restrict you so much, and you can give a developer more time. So I always will think EA will be a detriment to themselves for relying on these things. But besides that, and besides Battlefield 5, what else do you think they're gonna announce besides Destiny stuff? Huh?
Well, now why would they show Destiny stuff?
Oh, no, it's Destiny. That's Activision.
Yeah.
They have nothing.
I think the focal point is really going to be Battlefield.
And probably BioWare's game.
You're right, Anthem. Yeah.
Anthem. And, I'd like to see how Anthem looks. I'm not excited.
I don't have high hopes.
I don't have... Based off gameplay, I don't think it looks very good. And, like, I'm a big BioWare fan. Massive. But, I bought Andromeda. But after that, I ain't buying another.
So, real quick, this is not related to games at all, but I'm currently on my phone, and Noah was trying to connect
really,
to my Wi-Fi.
Yeah, this is really cool.
And my phone just popped up. It was like, do you want to share the Wi-Fi password with Noah Moyer? I was like, what?
It's really cool. And I was like, why did I just connect?
Yeah, so like that's it popped up on my iPad, which I'm using to monitor audio, and it also popped up on my phone.
Yeah.
Damn. Props
to Apple
systems.
For making
Props.
It like super easy to share Wi-Fi passwords.
We've beefed up production value.
Continuing on.
Oh, no problem. 2:00 start time, June 9th, I believe, for the press conference.
I just want to see more gameplay on Battlefield. That's like the only thing I'm interested in.
I want to see actual gameplay of Battlefield. So then we have Sunday, June 10th, which is actually one of the bigger days. We will start the day, I believe, at 4:00 Eastern time, watching Microsoft try to steal more money from us somehow.
Yep.
I think what we're going to see personally, we're going to see Crackdown 3 in its final phase, I think. Whatever it looks like at E3, that's the game we're getting.
Yeah, and I don't think it's... I honestly don't think it's going to be good. I don't think it's going to be good.
I do.
Not with Microsoft track record. I think they're going to drop the ball again on Crackdown 3.
We'll find out. Well, the only difference between this and other games is every other game, it seemed like it was like, there's a concrete release date, you get it out. You get one delay, and then it's out. And that delay's not very long. Crackdown 3, they've been delaying, giving it more time.
Yeah, I still don't feel like it's different.
Like, compared to everything else Microsoft has done, like, it is.
But Microsoft gives me no hope about this game having any quality.
Microsoft doesn't make the game. The developers make the game. I'm putting my faith in them.
Sure, but, like, same thing with Rare, same thing with State of Decay, same thing with these games.
True, but here's the difference. Rare didn't have the great minds that made Rare amazing. Crackdown 3 got its creative director back from Crackdown 1, who's the dude who made Grand Theft Auto 3.
I'm saying, here's hoping that it's good, but I don't think it's going to be. That's my
sense. He's going to be working too. Shoot here. besides that, something.
I'm tempering my expectations.
I get
How about that.
No, I think that's a good move. I think to assume it's going to be bad. Yeah, I don't know. I think
there's a greater expectation that it'll be like not good than it will be good.
I'm 50-50 with it right now. Mm-hmm. I think it come out. I don't think it'll be bad. I think it'll just be a more ho hum game.
Yeah.
Besides
that's not
that,
what Microsoft needs right now.
Though. Yeah. No. They need a killer. I think there's going to be something new Forza. Whatever that may be.
Yeah, it is. It's a Forza Horizon year, so we'll probably get something on that.
Developers from Playground Studios, I think we talked about this before, are set off to go make a new Fable game.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And it's going to apparently, their hope is to create a strong open world RPG franchise for Microsoft. So something, I think they're just taking Fable by name and essentially taking on the genre from their own ideas.
Okay.
Which I think is cool. Like, I like as long as they keep Fable true to that, like, fun whimsiness of it, Monty Python-esque humor. Like, I think they'll be fine. I don't see any fans really being upset.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that was always the thing we always kind of enjoyed about it, and then the gameplay was always kind of, like, interesting, but always kind of not very in-depth. Yeah. Like, once you finish the story, what was there to do?
Exactly.
And, as far as RPGs that promised to be the greatest RPGs ever, like, almost every time one came out, because fucking Lionhead. But, but, you know, besides that, I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, Cyberpunk. We're not sure, but it's, I think, like, Witcher released their game. But if you want to see gameplay, possibly, of Cyberpunk, this would be the show.
I'm saying, like, CD Projekt Red that says they are bringing something to the show, like, to E3. It's gotta be Cyberpunk.
It has
like,
to.
What else have they
been making?
I don't know, man, but it's CD
new
Projekt
Gwent
Red.
Packs? We're bringing Gwent. We're bringing more Gwent. But, like, nobody's...
Gwent's pretty good,
no,
but it's
that's
not...
the thing. Yeah. Who's going to be that upset? Yeah. Only scumbags who don't play Gwent.
Dude, freaking... Oh, God, like... I know I say this every time we talk about Cyberpunk, but it has, like, the makings of being, like, my favorite game.
We'll see, man.
Ugh.
I have to see gameplay.
Like, Witcher 3 is, like, one of my favorite games,
no,
if not my favorite.
No, in terms of aesthetic, in terms of genre, in terms of all that, and like setting and such, like, oh, my God, I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
What does the game play like?
No, totally.
That's
I agree.
The thing. I want to see what it
but
plays
the thing is, like.
Do I trust them no matter
3?
What they go for? That's going to be great? Yes.
Yeah.
But I want to see what kind of... Like, if it's a open world, third person shooter where I can, like, go around these space stations and, like, meet all... Like, that would be
Because, like, the thing
amazing.
About Witcher 3 is, like, obviously, like, the kind of, like... If you were to pick something apart in those games, it would be the gameplay. Because it's very... They're not always top notch as everything else is in that game. You know what I mean? Like the. Like,
but I thought Witcher 3 came the closest of
totally.
All the Witchers.
Yeah, no, like I actually enjoyed
gameplay.
The gameplay in that versus feeling tedious in Witcher 1 and 2.
I wouldn't say 2 felt tedious.
It was very chunky. Very,
fair.
Very chunky.
Fair.
You know what I mean? And this Witcher 3 very smooth.
Oh,
smoothed
yeah, yeah,
up the
yes,
combat event.
Yes.
And I'm hoping they're learning from that. You know what I mean?
I think so too.
Because
well, this, I think, will most guaranteely be a shooter to some extent.
Oh, it's got
to
be. Yeah, because well, it's based on the universe of, Cyberpunk 2020, and that's a version of board game that I played 2 or 3 times now through, there's this, like, online tabletop community that I play games with sometimes, and it's, God, the universe is just so cool. It's like, what if you took Blade Runner, but you, like, fleshed out every single aspect of everything in that universe, you know what I mean? You gave characters and, like, races and everything to everything in there, and that's why I like it so much. And and because they have the original writer and the original creators of the board game and then in the fiction working on the game, it gives me a lot of hope that it's gonna, you know, really be fleshed out. Because I think about how fleshed out the Witcher universe is and everything that they do with the characters and the environments and the quests, just big or small, it's like it's always been just like top notch, and that's why I enjoy it so much, because the writing's just out of this world.
You know where I think that game would fit in with other good games at E3?
Where?
At the Bethesda E3 conference. Let's talk about a publisher that cares.
Sometimes
for when now. money is
when,
on
when
the
money
line,
when, when, no, they, when no. there's a lot of money to be made, they care.
They care. So 9:30 that same day, that same Sunday, June 10th, Bethesda E3 conference. Obviously, we talked about the big Fallout news. Rage 2 will be there.
Yeah, I literally have the live stream up on my phone.
As far as most people were concerned, people thought this was going to be most likely a year for Elder Scrolls 6, kind of just given the fact Skyrim came out in 2011. And if you look at patterns of things, it would make sense either this year or next year.
I don't think it would be a Elder Scrolls game if this is a Fallout
game. No, exactly.
You know what I
mean? That, I think that quells that. Yeah. So, like, with that said, what else do they got? I'm trying to think. I'm sure they'll announce some other big game. Usually they like to work in rules of threes. Like last year at E3, they had Wolfenstein. They had The Evil Within 2. And what else? Wolfenstein was their big game, right?
Yeah.
This year?
I think so.
It was.
Yeah.
And Evil Within 2 was dope.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the hell out of that.
Oh, man, I love me some Wolfenstein, man.
Wolfenstein's not a great game. I'm excited. You know, I'm... What else are they going to do? I think this might be... They're usually ones to try... Oh, Dishonored 2. Was that last year?
No,
yeah.
No, that wasn't... No, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe Dishonored 2 DLC?
Dishonored 2 DLC was last year.
All right, yeah. I could see that.
I don't see them announcing Fallout 4 DLC.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a little too late for that.
I agree. I don't think that's one of the more likely ones, but I could see them doing it just to extend its lifespan if they don't have plans on making a new one for a while.
Yeah.
I think at that point I would just call it a cash cow.
It would be a cash cow.
Absolutely.
It depends. Like, if that new DLC is dope as hell and they add a whole new map and, like, a bunch of new features that are great, maybe it was made to actually extend this game's lifespan, but I would most likely assume it would be a cash grab.
It could just be, like, if it's Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon, like...
Yeah, that'd be cool as hell.
Yeah.
To go do something cool with it, go a little out there. All right, let's go to Monday. Monday, June 11th, Square Enix, baby. They're having their E3 press conference. That will be, I believe, at 1 o'clock Eastern time. This will be their... they haven't been at an E3 since 2015, but here we are. Why are you guys looking at each other like that?
I don't know.
I was eating a chip while looking at the ground, and Noah was assuming that I was looking at something on the ground. Yeah. That was important, but I was just like...
We keep a tightly knit, really well run ship here.
Yeah, I'm like eating chips right now. Like, it's been an hour and I'm still eating chips. So.
With that said, Square Enix E3. I think the game they're going to show is Kingdom Hearts 3. I think it's going to be the big game.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for it. We've talked about it. I'm replaying the Kingdom Hearts games right now. I love them to death. Mm-hmm. They're some of my favorite games ever. And, you know, I'm going to be a sucker for it no matter what. With that said, everything I've seen of Kingdom Hearts 3, because they released and re-released gameplay for it, they released a big part of the Toy Story level, and I think of the Hercules level, which they have in every game.
Yeah.
It looked dope as hell. Looked really good. So I'm really pumped. I know a lot of people who say they're going to give it a try, which I'm excited to see, like...
I'd be willing to give it a try because it does look pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe most, like, I'm hoping other people look towards other ones, maybe give those a try. Like, I love these games. Like, I think they're really well made. Like, for me, like, growing up, I remember when I got introduced to these, like, I was introduced to this in Zelda, and I chose to play these, and, like, primarily because I had a PS2 to start with, so I could, but, like, these were the games of my, like, if you asked one of my favorite games were for a long time, I would have said Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah.
That game is
incredible. I probably would have said Wind Waker.
Yeah, like, that makes sense.
That's, because I was winning the other direction.
But, goddamn, they're so good. And, like, you know, you can tell the difference between, like some Kingdom Hearts games are really well made. Like, level design is really on point. Like, you can tell they really planned out spots, and it's really well structured. Like, I don't think those games get enough credit for how, like, smoothly they run off game design sometimes, especially ones like 2, like Birth by Sleep, and like 1, but then there's other Kingdom Hearts games like 358 divided by 2, and then which these names are dumb, and like 3D Dream Drop Distance.
I've never played Final Fantasy because like
you mean Kingdom Hearts
or Kingdom Hearts.
Sorry. You're not that off
yet. Yeah, like the there's too many of them for me at this point to get into it. And now that I'm listening to these titles, I'm like
essentially
I'm kind of glad I didn't.
One and two, all right.
Yeah,
they're the only ones that matter. Yeah. The other ones are just spinoffs that you play to kind of satisfy an appetite.
Yeah.
So like if you wanted to get into it, I would just tell you to play 1 and 2 and then play 3.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be perfectly fine. You know the story of Stora, Raikou, and what's her face? And listen, she does not she's not have a lot of dialogue. I forget his love interest. But she's not the most interesting character. Goddamn. But man, I'm pumped.
A fan you are.
I know.
Biggest fan.
Listen, I play them, they're fun. Oh, Kairi. God damn it. Mm-hmm. Listen, Kairi's... This red-haired girl does nothing. Uh-huh. I remember I was playing Kingdom Hearts 1 the other day, and I totally forgot in that game, like, you and your best friend essentially, like, fight over the, like, affection of this girl. And, like, you're closest of friends. This is very well established.
Yeah.
And there's one scene where you're gonna go on a race, and there's, like, this fruit that you get to split. And if you split the fruit with someone, your souls are locked forever. And your friend's really, like... if I win this race, I'm gonna split the fruit with her, and you can't do shit. Like, this is how he opens the race, and I was like, "What best friends are you picking, Sora?" Yeah,
exactly.
And then I lost that race, and then he was like, "Oh, I was just kidding, bro." And I was like, "You snake, fuck!
My God.
I would punch you in real life if you said that to me. I'd be so like filled with anger." But Ubisoft. Speaking of filled with anger, at 4 o'clock that same day, Monday, June 11th, Ubisoft will be hosting their conference. Splinter Cell. Just give me
it. Oh my god, yeah.
Just give me the new Splinter Cell. If you release a new Splinter Cell, you'll probably win E3 for me. There's not really anything else.
CD Projekt Red is still there for me. They're not going to win E3 for me.
So you think CD... Well, like, okay. I know CD Projekt Red has, like, the one game, their developer, and their publisher, but, like, I mean, like, in terms of these press conferences.
Yeah, if I, like, it's so significant to me that it would...
Microsoft would win.
Well, not Microsoft, CD Projekt Red.
No, but this is what I'm getting at. That's the press conference they're at.
Oh, well, like, if you're categorizing by press conference, it's up in the air.
Everybody else, like, there are developers. Like, there's plenty of indie developers. Like, there's not plenty of indie developers. But there's developers that go there and such. But, like, the big boys, the big publishers,
essentially compete
with each other.
Well, if we're categorizing by that and it's only on the Microsoft stage, then, yeah, probably I would choose the Microsoft press conference because that game is such a huge thing.
You sold yourself to the devil, bro. Not
far off with Ubisoft.
Hey, Splinter Cell. But they'll probably announce a new... I think if they announce Splinter Cell, they'll treat it like it's the end of the game new show. Because I think we saw earlier, I don't know if you saw the leak for it, but Canadian Walmart released a laundry list of games on it that were like... And everybody was like, what the hell are these? Like, and they were like all like new ones. Like Borderlands 4 was on there. Borderlands 3. And Rage 2 was on there. And this was before any Rage 2 stuff got announced. And everybody was like, this seems fake. And then Bethesda goes and announces Rage 2. And everyone's like,
okay, it's actually real.
So it seems like these games are pretty solid for happening. So
gotcha.
It'll be... I'm just hoping for that. Besides that, what else has Ubisoft got? New Ghost Recon?
Assassin's Creed?
No, not Ghost Recon.
New Assassins?
See new Assassin's Creed, probably.
I'm not excited for that at all.
Origins wasn't too bad.
But that's Origins, the thing.
Origins
came
after a 2-year layoff period. You make Origins and you're just going to go back to yearly releases?
I don't think they're going back to the year releases.
They might
announce something, but I don't think they're going to say it's coming out this year.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
I could get behind that.
Just like as a little primer.
Yeah. I could see them doing something with the Switch again, with like they did with Rabbids.
Yeah.
Because I think they've said when that game got announced that it was a partnership with Nintendo to make first-party content exclusively for a Switch that focuses on the Switch's strengths.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
And I think that's great because I thought Rabbids
was great. Yeah,
it was great. A lot of fun. So like and that was a cool project that I don't think anybody was expecting to come out. And like,
definitely not.
It essentially took a franchise I hated and a franchise I loved and made it work.
Yeah,
and I couldn't believe it, but hey,
yeah,
they nailed it.
Did it work really well?
It was fun too.
Like, it was. Yeah,
that's the thing with those Rabbids games. I don't have fun. They're like attempt for toilet humor doesn't like. I'm not, like, listen, I love a good dick and fart joke. Like, I'm not high class over here. I'm just saying, like, at a certain point, that stuff feels very kid-oriented, just very slapstick, but not even, like, in that way of, like...
Yeah, that's what their target audience is. So.
True. But this time, it worked.
Yeah.
It was fun. There was whimsy to it. It felt like... Like, I felt like if I was playing this as a kid, I just would have loved it to death. And even as an adult, I was loving it, so... Oh, and then eventual, most likely to win, Sony. They're finishing the show.
Well, yeah, they're focusing on 4 main games, yeah, right?
9 o'clock. So this will be, yeah, so 9 o'clock Eastern time. Well, I'm doing this all Eastern time. That's just the time around.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're big games.
Got a Death Stranding, Death Stranding. Spider-Man.
Oh, no. Holy hell. Cyberpunk's going to be at Sony, according to this Games Radar report. And Red Dead Redemption will also be there.
Well, shit, I guess Sony wins.
Yeah, Death Stranding, Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Tom finally gets a good Spider-Man game.
It's only been fucking Spider-Man. Shattered Dimensions, probably.
Yeah. Shattered Dimensions was fun, yeah. Shattered but it wasn't like... It wasn't like...
As a fan of Spider-Man, and as being me, buying them all the time, if you ask me what are the best Spider-Man games, I tell you Ultimate Spider-Man, I tell you Shattered Dimensions.
Yeah,
Shattered Dimensions. I think those are really really good games.
Yeah.
I enjoyed playing both of those, yeah.
This is the first one I think that could be amazing.
Yes.
Like what Arkham was levels, to Batman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like those games, like, don't even be like... Oh my god!
Yeah, very. Love
it. But like, you know, this is the comic book fascination come to life, and I think here we just
Marvel's been bad about though. It's just
that's
like,
true. Not giving these games, like, but that's the thing. This is the first time I really feel a Marvel license got into the hand of like a really capable developer in Insomniac. Yeah, like,
definitely. My thing is like I think about like how much of an influence like one game can have on me as far as like I think about Cyberpunk. Like, if that game gets announced and it's, like, coming out next year, like, I'm budgeting, like, a couple different things. It's, like, straight to building a new PC if Cyberpunk is coming out. That's, like, how much of, like, I want to play that game. Like,
what if?
I mean, I'm just saying. It's a 1080.
I don't need to say, I have a 90 Ti, though.
All I'm saying.
980. So, 1070 is better than a 980 Ti.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Noah.
Yeah.
What if? And I know it's always rare, but it seems every E3 there's one game that does it. It gets announced, and they're like, "Oh yeah," and it's coming out this year. Because Fallout 4, they did that. Mario Odyssey, they did that. I'm trying to think of a few other examples, but like, there's just one big game that, because they know there's like a wow factor.
If
there like,
is.
Oh yeah, and they're like, "Oh yeah," and it comes out in 4 months.
Yeah,
and then you're like, "What? I just found out this existed."
Yeah, that's why Fallout 4 had such a draw to it.
I think that's the best way to release games. We're seeing that with music too. Like these 1 week releases.
Yeah.
Like J. Cole is like, I got an album coming out in a week.
Yeah.
And people are like, an album?
Yeah.
I don't even know you're fucking doing
it. It allows you to still be excited for it.
Yeah. The excitement, it doesn't have to be drawn out.
Mm-hmm.
It all feels rather organic, or at least more organic.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, what else? Death Stranded. Oh, Last of Us 2. Spider-Man. And what was the fourth one?
Death Stranding?
Cyberpunk? Death Stranding. Cyberpunk's not going to be a Sony exclusive.
Last of Us, right?
Last of Us, Spider-Man, Death Stranding. Maybe there will be... Oh, Dreams.
Oh, yeah. No, I've been hearing a lot of stuff about that.
I put a lot of faith in those guys. Little Big Planet is dope. I just think like it seems hella ambitious, like really ambitious for what they're going for. And like the idea behind it to literally create like... I don't know. It would be interesting to see how they create something like... Because I think about, like, Project Spark and, like, the ideas behind that, and that makes me nervous, but I gotta have to see.
Yeah.
Damn, I just don't know.
Well, then Sony, like, I'm very excited for the Sony press conference, then.
Oh, and last but not least, Tuesday, June 12th.
Yeah.
Nintendo... At noon,
their
clubhouse
stuff, right?
Yeah, you know, it'll be classic Reggie as a puppet with Shigeru as a puppet. The games is good.
Yeah,
we make good games.
Yeah,
Reggie.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in an E3 press conference. Besides,
these are Nintendo. These I used to not like because I was a bigger fan of press conferences, but the more the humor gets involved, they kind of just make it easier to watch. And like, they're never that long; they're like 25 minutes, and almost always there's a game or two that gets announced.
Mm-hmm.
We're just comparing graphics card because I have a 1070.
Like such a minute difference, though.
Difference now, but once drivers get better and they start pushing it more,
but like
be
I
a
don't
gap.
But like it's gonna it'll just save me so much money if I'm just like I'm gonna do new CP like new everything except the graphics card. You know what I mean? A solid like $600. You know,
for Cyberpunk. I think the biggest thing would
I'll approach that bridge when it comes with it because I can still take out the graphics card and put another one in, you know, and I still need to upgrade the basics, like the stuff that I would need to do together first.
All right.
Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
This has been a while.
Okay, so Nintendo.
sorry.
Smash.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
good chance Pokemon Switch might be there. As you find out, I don't know if you saw, but they announced that it's going to be most likely, based off a rumor that seems rather concrete, it's going to maybe be a... Jesus Christ, you boys and your fucking chips. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a game centered around Pikachu and one centered around Eevee, and the idea is there might be Switch remakes that kind of are different of Pokemon Yellow, which... I personally think it's cool.
I'm all for Switch Pokemon.
I don't know if you know Pokemon Yellow, but Pokemon Yellow was different, was kind of the... You know how when a Pokemon generation comes out, and then a year later goes by, and they kind of release like the premium version of that game? Yeah. So Pokemon Yellow is the first one of that, and it has Pikachu on the cover, and essentially Pokemon Blue and Red. But the difference is, in that game, you start with Pikachu, and you always walk with the Pikachu, and you can't get Pikachu out of your party. And it's a dope Pikachu. Like, it's like great stats and everything. And but in that game, you can catch in the wild Squirtle, Bulbasaur, Charmander. Like, it kind of it made more content openly available to you instead of it having to be like limited in a way. And it was more in line with things in the anime. And you could even take on, I think, Ash in that too. It was that might have been actually Soul Silver and Heart Gold, but I mean Silver and Gold, but I'm not sure.
I don't remember seeing it in Silver.
It might have been Crystal, but it might be Yellow. But in one of the games, in one of those early ones, no, I think actually I think it's in Black and White, so I'm gonna say Yellow.
Okay.
That you can take on Ash, and you know he has like a level 80 Pikachu, but goddamn, he can finally beat that motherfucker up. Maybe an Animal Crossing sequel. That was a joke. They'll never make a sequel to that game. What else could they make?
I mean, Animal Crossing for Switch
would be really good.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a big Wii U port announcement.
Oh, probably.
Here's what I think. I know it was like everybody loved them when they came out on the Wii U, so I had to say just do it for the Switch.
Yeah.
If you were like, oh, we're bringing the HD remakes of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess over, I think everybody would be like, yeah, no, let's do it. Because so many people didn't play it because they couldn't play. And like, do I want it because I own a Switch and I like Zelda and I want to play those games? Yes.
I would really, really like to play Wind Waker remastered on my Switch. That'd be really, really good.
It hurts me that fucking... the Wii U gets that. God damn it. Man. Bring it. Bring it. You're not bringing Virtual Console. Do this for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I could really go for that, honestly. Just play Wind Waker on the go. Like, gorgeous Wind Waker. Where, like, the water looks better than Sea of Thieves.
It really does.
I don't... Okay.
Well, that's going a lie. Far, yeah.
The water in Sea of Thieves is, like, the thing they perfected. Yeah. Like, that water looks damn good. Which, it sounds dumb as we say it, but, like...
Gotta see it.
The sincerity. There's a sincerity to that statement. Like, that game does have gorgeous moments. But but Wind Waker. Wind Waker's gorgeous. Like, let's talk about what we're actually talking about. I'd be way more excited for the Wind Waker remake than a Twilight Princess remake. But I do see them announcing more Wii U games being ported over to the Switch. Just because the Wii U, really, it had the games. It was just such a poor launch. Yeah. And, like, the gamepad, I think, just polarized people. It wasn't, like, what the Switch was, which was, like, this easy handheld thing. It was like, what really is the console here?
Yeah.
Which, like, I'm not even sure to this day.
No, seriously, yeah. It was a very head. It was just a constant identity crisis for Nintendo, was the Wii U, I think.
I think it was, like, the ideas of the Switch just not full. I think it was trying to hold on to the Wii because they thought, because of the Wii sales, it was worth holding on to. But at that time, like, nobody gave a shit, like, after 2009.
Yeah.
And trying to kind of implement these ideas that we're now seeing fully realized with the Switch. So, like, things like the gamepad, kind of, like, the idea of having, like, these, like, variety of controllers.
Yeah.
But we're now seeing that with the Switch, so it's all good. What else? That's it. That's the schedule. After that, you know, everything else is show floor stuff. I think there's going to be new Destiny stuff. Last of Us will be there. Red Dead will be there. I think Fortnite will do something because of T3.
Yeah.
PUBG will do something because of T3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping this is an exciting one, but this is...
I think that...
No, I'm moving my shoulders.
This is the things that I'm, like, interested in seeing. One, I'm interested in seeing what the fuck Microsoft is doing.
Yes. Oh, every year I'm interested in that, and every year I'm just like, so we're doing nothing. Yeah. Huh? Like, we're not going to do anything here.
And then but I can't say that I'm excited for the Sony press conference.
I'm excited for Sony press conference. Yeah. I'm always, but Sony, I don't know anyone who's not excited for Sony press conferences now.
It's always,
because there's always this possibility of something new that you really care, like they announced, like, they make shit happen still. They're still they know, they have their heart, they know what people want. Or at least like they don't just know what people want, they actually care about what they're making beyond just trying to just like feel the feeling that you're just trying to work through motions, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's nuts, man.
I think Ubisoft will, as every year Ubisoft has better and better press conferences. Mm-hmm. So given last year's was pretty good, this could be the first year in a while Ubisoft has had a good press conference.
Yes.
Which
I agree.
I think 2012 is my all-time, because I think that, I know, 2011's Ubisoft press conference was amazing.
What was it?
That was the one where, like, they were like, we're releasing Far Cry 3, we're coming out with a new Ghost Recon that, like, actually looks good, but Future Soldier was, like, at best. God, there was a bunch of shit. Goddamn. I'm trying to think, but I really felt like that was a stacked one. I just can't think of it all right now.
That's when I just played Garry's Mod and...
Yeah.
That was it. Garry's Mod and TF2.
TF2, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's like right around the time where I built my PC, I think is 2012.
Mm.
I'm not going back. That's where I'm at. I was just telling Tom the other day, I'm not paying for Xbox Live or PS Plus anymore. Yeah. Because like I find it, at least in my case, I'm just like unappealed to playing multiplayer games on console.
Oh yeah.
Because like,
my Xbox is basically just a glorified Blu-ray player, and
that's what it is. Yeah, it's a nice, because it has the apps, a nice interface to work through. Like I will admit, like I use my mom's Blu-ray player sometimes to try to get to Netflix, and like it takes like 4 minutes for that motherfucker to get there. But the Xbox, it's quicker. Like that's like, it's a more powerful machine, obviously. Yeah. So like I think people kind of see the appeal in that, and given how cheap they are today, like why not?
$200, $150 used.
You can get $100,
but even like if you're just looking for that, just go with the Chromecast. You know?
If you want the Blu-ray player, though.
Yeah.
If you want the 4K Blu-ray. If you want a 4K Blu-ray player, I don't think there's a better option you could do.
No. Yeah. Yeah. And plus, like, I have, like, Forza Horizon.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, just games.
There are some titles, like, I think Sony does a better job at this. Oh, of making it be like, some games come out for this that only come out for this.
Buy a PS4 over an Xbox.
But most Microsoft games now come out for PC, too. So it's like, what are you guys trying to do here? Like, seriously, you're just hurting yourselves.
Yeah.
But Sony, they get it.
My thing is, I find, like, console gaming, like, multiplayer gaming is just so, it's like, it's good for, like, a week, and then it immediately dies. Like, there's still a ton of people to play with, but, like, you don't
form... There's no communities.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
And it's so easy to do that on the PC.
I don't care for multiplayer gaming. Yeah. So I'm a content lad.
Exactly,
you know
me? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm playing Kingdom Hearts games, for God's
exactly,
sakes.
But, like, I'm the exact opposite. Like, I love and I thrive off of, like, good multiplayer experiences or, like, player-driven experiences as far as, like
definitely.
Stuff in Arma, like...
PUBG.
Counter-Strike, PUBG... All this stuff is just like, I love doing it with my friends, or at least the very least doing it with people that I'm in a community with.
You know I mean? I hate people too much, but I love gatherings.
You just gotta find the right people, man.
Yeah. All right.
Did we cover everything?
That's it. That's news.
Hold on.
That's all it takes.
How are those Doritos?
They're really good.
We should eat chips from now on. Actually, next time we'll just cook a meal. Okay. In the middle of it.
It'll be a mukbang. There'll be a video to go along with it, and we'll just be eating continuously while we talk about games.
Game and also ASMR at the same time.
Before we go, we always like to ask, what are you guys playing? What are you playing?
What am I playing? I was replaying Red Dead.
Nice, good call.
Took a break. I've been doing some Deus Ex Human Revolution and also... Arma and Counter-Strike. Those are the games I've been playing. I've just been kind of just hopping, just doing whatever everybody else is
playing.
Human
Revolution sounds dope.
Yeah. I replayed Deus Ex. I'm sorry, Mankind Divided is what I'm playing right now. I replayed Human Revolution earlier this year.
Okay.
And I'm replaying Mankind Divided
We talked about it before. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's not as good as Revolution, like it's still good.
It's good. It's quick.
It is. Yeah,
that's the surprising thing with it, which is kind of the biggest bummer.
I think the version I got came with the DLC, so I'm hoping that flushes
the DLC,
some stuff out. Yeah,
go nuts. Yeah. I didn't play the DLC personally.
Jung?
So, games have been kind of on the back burner recently. I've been doing a lot more professional stuff, but I would say that I've been playing like Far Cry 5 here and there and just playing like Counter-Strike.
Nice.
And maybe some PUBG, that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, they're in an odd spot. Like, I play them when I have time, but usually I find I don't have time.
Yeah, exactly.
Kingdom Hearts, I'm replaying. I'm playing SSX 3. I played it yesterday, actually, on PS2. We re- it's backwards compatible on the Xbox One, but we've been having a long, long debate about this, and our one friend Noah, another Noah.
Gotcha.
He is in a heated, heated contested battle with Microsoft because he loves the controller scheme that it is on PS2, where you have these grab buttons, which are really important to doing tricks on the triggers. But the Xbox One version is mapped off the original Xbox controller, where there's just triggers and those two buttons on the fat boy right there. So the whole scheme of it is completely reworked around, and you can't actually reorganize, realign what the triggers are, because that wasn't a feature in the game. And even the app you have to do it within Microsoft doesn't let you do it to the triggers unless you have an Elite controller. So you essentially would have to pay $100 to play SSX its optimal way. Yeah. Like, I don't even want to sound like a dickhead, but like, it's harder to do the tricks. Like, you're literally, it's a detriment to you playing the game to not have that scheme. But the game looks nice. Like, Rob was trying to get into, Rob's just like, you should buy it on Xbox, you should buy it on Xbox, you should buy it on Xbox. So much better on Xbox. I was like, how about them triggers?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, then no.
It looks really good.
It looks really good, but the game runs at 60 frames on PS2.
Yeah.
The load times on PS2 aren't fucking that bad. I've seen the load time on Xbox One. They're good, but they're not like, it's not like
it's like a marginal difference. Yeah.
Yes, like when I played Digimon Cyber Sleuth on the PS4, there were no load times because it was a fucking PS Vita game on the PS4. Yeah. Even this one, like, it's not. I just think it just takes a little time because it's just a bigger game. But because you have to unload these whole maps and stuff, and like you can go down the entire mountain, which is dope as hell. But yeah, so I'm playing that. I'm trying to get good at it again. It's been a while. I'm upgrading the characters I used to play as, which right now I'm just upgrading Griff. Who's this kid character? Because he was the only. Because I was a kid when I played.
Yeah, so
I was like, hey, I'm a white kid. He's a white kid. That's me. So I'm playing that, and it's amazing. It's like, obviously, it's one of my favorite games ever. So, I know a bunch of our friends have gotten back into it, so it's super cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
And Noah's always been a savage at that game. So he's trying to get. He like is working on the Reddit forums for the game, but he's really trying to see if there's any way they can change these controller schemes because it's so bad.
Yeah.
If you just not really, but if you just know that how it's supposed to be, and like know that it's actually kind of detrimental to you pulling shit off, like it's just tough.
Yeah. That's all we got though.
I think that's everything. Besides that, I'm playing Wolfenstein when I can.
Yeah.
I'm gonna finally beat that one of these days.
So good. It's so good.
Playing slow sprints.
I still haven't beaten it.
Like, I play it like, I'll play it for like 2 day periods where I'll play like 8 hours of it.
Yeah.
And then like a month or so will go by and I have to come back.
Sounds about right.
That's, but I think my next 8 hour period, I'll beat the game.
Yeah.
It's the feeling definitely. I have.
It's not really a long game.
No, it's not.
It's like 15 to 20.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say I'm somewhat close.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you the last thing I did.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys coming by for the Watch Hour podcast, the new audio equipment from Jung.
We're at Jung's. Like, yeah, we're doing this at Jung's.
Thanks for coming by, guys. Recording at mine.
Jung, oh, no problem.
Thanks for coming by to Jung's basement.
Yeah, Jung, thanks for coming. We really
I love this place.
Yeah, guys.
But we appreciate you listening. Stay tuned for the E3 stuff.
We'll have another episode, actually, before this one probably goes up.
I should mention that there was a iTunes changed their format for their RSS feed, so I had to contact support and do a bunch of bullshit to reformat it on Squarespace so that it would work in Google and iTunes still. So that problem's fixed now. It should be going up sometime today is what they told me.
That episode will be coming up. It's a little bit on a mildly older side, but it's a good conversation.
Honestly. Yeah, it's just a conversation.
We don't even talk about the news very much in it. It's 2 hour. I think it's like a 2 hour one.
Dang.
Yeah, it's a long.
Because we teed it off. We did not.
This is
focused.
An hour and a half. So.
Yeah. We were on point for this one.
Yeah.
We just had a lot to get through.
Exactly. Make sure to check out the website.
Of course.
Check out the email. Send us the questions if you want some. Check out the column Tom wrote if you haven't already looked at it. And that's all we got. We'll see you at E3.
See you. That's how you do it.